A realization seemed to cross her mind as she looked at his hand, still tight on the gun, the aim unwavering. "Oh, shit," she said, and kicked his ankle. He made one movement, even as the gun went flying from his hand. He hit the belt. He rose into consciousness again, maybe a few minutes later, lying in the grass. Straining down, he could see the display on the belt buckle, +3, 3 worlds further up. He'd taken the batteries out of the other belts and done some minimal stripping down. It might take her a few more minutes to work out what he'd done and put it all together and come after him. Come after him, she would. She would have to track him down, because she'd be bright enough to suspect that he'd cache a weapon in some handy nearby world. He should have cached a weapon in some handy nearby world. Would she expect him to have gone downhill? Put a tiny inroad into the vast distance between himself and the first Earth? Possibly, which gave him a minute or two more if she was husbanding her batteries. No, she'd all the batteries in the camp to use. If she was clever at putting things together, she could be here now. He rolled away as she flashed into view, taking aim even as she appeared. The smack of the bullet into the ground near his head was still echoing in his ears as he moved up 2 worlds, wincing with pain, because that meant another jolt to his ankle. Here the ground was even more chewed up, and the trees were gone. Here the fist had begun to really hit, not just graze. Here the air was thin, depleted. He rolled, almost cherishing the pain, because it somehow kept the darkness at bay. But she had expected that. Only she gave him more credit than he deserved, and emerged firing at a spot several yards away. Flip, and drop a bone-shaking meter onto ground that was nearly freezing. Flip, flip. The soil here was rock now, the freezing remains of the molten guts spewed out when the fist had really meant business. The air was thinner, and the rising sun prickled oddly. It would fire him if he stayed. Flip. She was ready for the drop. Emerged with legs bent to cushion her fall. Lindsay glanced at his belt with watering eyes. +23. +24. Flip. She was holding the gun one-handed, knowing he wouldn't roll far, knowing that the thin air would tell on him first. She hit the belt switch. Lindsay was ready. He had his mouth open and was already turning the belt controls when she arrived again. In the one red-eyed second before his hand found the switch, he saw her tumble, breath escaping in a plume of ice crystals. The gun fired and sent its bullet barreling off towards the freezing, shining stars. Then she was spinning, her face a mask, her legs still tensed from the fall that this time would be endless. About a mile off was a jagged asteroid, one of a great many out here between Mars and Venus. The fist had pummeled harder, and here the fist had won. Before he blacked out, Lindsay made it back a few steps to the freezing lava flow and managed a final roll downslope into the shade of a rock. Almost naked sunlight sleeted past, and the boundary between shade and light was knife sharp. There was air, but it was weak, wheezy stuff. The pain seemed distant, a hot sensation rather than an agony. He wondered whether she would survive, but she'd lost valuable seconds before she touched the belt, and even then it would still be set to jump the wrong way. Lindsay, half expecting it even the first time round, had travelled forward with the belt rigged so that the next flip would take him back to his starting point. He nearly hadn't survived even then. So she would have jumped onwards, and there was no telling yet how many times the destruction of the Earth had taken place. Perhaps only once or twice, perhaps 1,000, 1,000,000 times, but not more, because even with an infinity of Earths to play with, the striking of the fist must be a rarity. So beyond, there must stretch even more. Beyond the high megas would be the gigas, the terrors, the googles. But by then, Earth would have hit the big changes. It would be moonless, or an airless desert, or a cinder round a red sun. All the things the Earth might have been if it hadn't been the one place in the multiplex universe that could give rise to sapience. Perhaps. Because they said the soul was indivisible. He could feel them, the vast empty spaces stretched around him, as distant as the back of a reflection. Far behind him, impossible to reach, was the tiny circle of firelight. Ahead, the untold possibilities. That would be the way to go. To hit the switch and hold it down until the battery burned out. Drift a few hundred dimensions out, like a burial at sea.